It's been a long time ago. It was actually August 5th, 1990, and I play Irish flute in a band, and our band was practicing that evening for Irish Fest. And I came home, I drove home, I drove into my garage, and then I went to the trunk of my car to get my flute and sheet music out. And when I had lifted the trunk up, at that point there was somebody behind me, and he held a gun to my head, and he was choking me with one arm or one hand, and then holding the gun to my head in the other. And he pretty much kept saying over and over, "Don't you make a sound or I'm gonna blow your head off." And this was at 10:30 or 11, so it was dark. And so he pulled me backwards to start walking down the alley. He was walking behind me. At that time, I was living in Shorewood. Shorewood is considered a pretty safe neighborhood, and I always say to people, guns and rape do not have any borders, ages, anybody. So he pulled me behind, walking backwards until we got to the alley, and then he started walking me forward. So he was behind me the whole time with the one hand around my neck and the other to my head with a gun. I kept walking like he told me, and he kept saying, "Don't you make a sound or I'm going to blow your head off." He just kept saying that over and over again. So finally, he found a place that was dark. There were no lights between two garages. He said, "Take your clothes off." He put my hands above on one of the garages, and then he started to touch me. First, he touched my breasts, and then I was really scared that he was going to shoot me. I wanted to live. I'm a single parent. So I was thinking ahead, I want to live through this. So I said, "So you want me to take my clothes off, but you don't want me to identify you, do you?" Like, I was trying to put that suggestion in his head. So that way I kept my purple sweatshirt, then I put that over my face. I felt like at least there was that little bit of control in me. It was a survival skill then, and that's when he raped me. Like, I could see myself from up high. Then it was over. And then he said, "Don't you move for 5 minutes or I'm gonna shoot you." Then I didn't hear anything, and I'm wondering, well, what if he changes his mind and comes back and wants to kill me because he doesn't want any witnesses. So what I did is I slowly moved one of my legs just a little bit because I thought if he was there, he'd probably say, "Don't you move." And I didn't hear anything. So then I slowly took the shirt off my head and looked around. I didn't see him. So I grabbed my clothes. I looked left and right down the alley, didn't see anything. And then so I ran zigzag home because I really was afraid he was going to shoot me. I ran in to the back door. I pounded on the door, and my son was there. At that time, he was 14 years old. Can you imagine what it is for a 14-year-old son to open the door and see his mother there standing naked? And that's when I broke down and cried. I said, "Justin, call the police now. I was just robbed and raped." So then the police came, and there's sperm dripping down my legs, and it's just like, and so they took me right away, and my son came with me. We went to Sinai Samaritan, and that's where they had a nurse that was trained to collect the evidence. The sad thing is, there was one nurse on call, and there were three women ahead of me. I had to wait for hours and hours to be seen. The evidence was collected. The police officers drove me and my son home after that. So that happened in August of 1990. I was asked to be involved in a lineup in December of 1990 because there was a person that had done the same kind of thing, following somebody getting out of their car. There was a guy. His build, like when he was on top of me, I could tell his build. Because I didn't never saw his face, I asked him to say the words, "Don't move or I'm going to shoot you." And I said, well, that person would be 80%. And I was later told that that person that I said was 80% was the person that six other women, his DNA was positive for that. My DNA unfortunately disintegrated after those years of waiting. My case was never resolved, but in my head it was, because that's the person that I said was 80% by the voice and by his build. So I do know that he is in jail for, I'd say, 8 to 10 years. I could not drive into a garage again. I would just be very paranoid. Time heals, but it doesn't erase, because I will never be the same person that I was. There's also a little part of me that feels guilty that I lived through it when I hear of the loss of others, and it's kind of sad. I am normally a very forgiving person, but I have not forgiven him after watching six women whose DNA did match 99.99999%. He denied it to every single one of them, and he said he never did this. You know, there's such common sense things people can do, background checks and the risk factor of if someone's suicidal, you know, taking away the guns temporarily so that you can save a life. It's not taking away your gun rights. It's common sense. We live in community.